And we're dealing with the thought of being crucified with Christ. Paul said in Galatians, speaking there, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to start tonight in 2 Corinthians, and I would like to deal with chapter number 4, verse number 6. Pardon me. Let's back up before we go there. Let's go into Matthew chapter 11 first. Matthew chapter 11. Now, let Brother Gorman explain to you for just a moment before we go into our study tonight. The crucified life is not a life where that you are constantly living on the verge of a nervous breakdown. That is not a crucified life. And there are many wonderful, beautiful, dear, loving people who are going through some horrible experiences because they are trying through sheer force what only the Spirit and the Word can accomplish. Amen. It is for this reason that many people who became acquainted with Pentecost many years ago turned back, was because they were challenged, they were told, they were preached to, and they tried to effect and to perfect an outward holiness without a corresponding inner relationship. And any time the outside of the cup becomes whiter than the inside of the vessel is, then you are bordering on hypocrisy. Let that soak in. See? Very little has to be worried about the outside if the inside is right. If the heart is right, and if you're living in the Word, then the outer man will automatically be transformed to the image of the inner man. Amen? You listening to me close? Because that's some good teaching. And I wish I'd have had someone to tell me that when I first got saved, because it took me 10 years to learn it. Amen? And some of you haven't been saved 10 days yet, and you're already getting it. But this is exactly what happens, beloved. This is why many people live in a constant state of frustration. Now, if you want to crucify the old man, then you must, by all means, receive knowledge. If you will walk in the light as he is in the light, every day, just taking a little more and going a little further, doing a little bit more for Jesus Christ. And now when I'm saying that, don't misread me, don't misunderstand me. There are a lot of people running in circles doing works for God, and they think they are ministering to the Lord, but they aren't. But what I'm talking about is that personal relationship between you and the Lord. If you'll pray, if you'll read, if you'll study the Word, if you will worship God, if you'll do these things every day, then the old man will die. Amen. Now, what I want you to do is to think with me now, and I want you to meditate with me. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to go too fast that you don't know what I'm talking about. But I want you to be able to relate to what I'm saying. See, as you understand God, there is a compelling force within that causes you then to become like that knowledge you have received. Now that is a must, or either you turn to be a reprobate. There is no alternative. It is either more godly people who become reprobate are those who refuse to retain God in their knowledge. That's what the book says in Romans chapter 1. See? Now, the only thing you know about God is what's revealed to you. Now, it can only be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. That's why that many churches have men who can preach a good message and they give forth a good speech. But because the Holy Spirit is not present in that meeting, then the people go away empty and lacking without their lives being transformed. There are many churches in this city that preach from a similar Bible that I preach from. And they do preach the Word. But the Word is not anointed as it goes forth with anointing upon their own life. That's why a drunkard can come to this church and be transformed by the power of the living God, when another church may preach the same message and it not take place. And this is what's confusing people out there in the city. That's why some of the preachers today are taking pot shots at me. And I wish they wouldn't do that, because all it's going to do is make them hate me more, because they're going to send me customers. That's right. When you start fighting the move of God, you're a loser. See? So now, what happened? Joya comes to church. Her mother has been telling her for years. Her mother's been a Christian ever since I knew her mother. And I've been knowing her mother for about 18 years. And I've never known anything but a beautiful Christian woman who knew God. But Joya went astray. Now, in Joya's head, she knew what she ought to do. But when Joya walked in this church and the Spirit of God laid hold upon her, she received a revelation. That revelation so quickened her to her spirit that it convicted her of her sins, and she couldn't stand it anymore. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And see, this is what happens to individuals. It is the Holy Spirit of God who takes that truth and moves it from the head into the spirit. And when he moves it into the spirit, it brings you under conviction. And when that conviction lays hold upon you, then you have to do something. And the only thing you can do to find release is repent. And when you repent, Jesus walks in. He says, bless God, I'm here to rearrange the furniture. We're going to kick things out. We're going to set up housekeeping like it ought to be. And that's where it all starts. Hallelujah. How many of you relate to that? You say, I know what you're talking about, Brother Gorman. That's exactly what happened. Amen. Now, there's no big mystery about that. It's a simple anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the thing that makes the anointing of the Holy Spirit deeper in this church than in some other churches is this. How many tongue talkers do we have here tonight? See what a charge you got, friend? You don't have to do nothing. Just sit there and you're going to get a charge. You can't be in a place with that many Holy Ghost-filled people. See, that's the whole thing. And when those people begin to pray, when I begin to preach, then the Holy Spirit begins to draw them in with me. And though I'm the only one speaking, all at once, you have all of these hundreds of people that they're in one spirit with me. They are agreeing with me. Oh, hallelujah. And the power of God begins to saturate this place. And from wall to wall, there is a vibration of the Holy Ghost anointing. And it convicts men of their sins and brings them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
You just say, I done preach all that and hadn't even read my text. I forgot that. Matthew 11.
Hallelujah.
Matthew 11. Verse 27. All things, verse 27, that's 11 and 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now that's where they come from. They come from the Father. Number two, and no man knoweth the Son. Number three, but the Father. Now that's where it all started out. Everything that Jesus was came from the Father. And no one knew who the Son was save the Father. That's where it started. That's where it started. When Jesus was born, God the Father knew who he was, where he was. And the only other people who knew, it tells you right here, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now that's it, like this. No one calleth the Lord, Lord, save by the Spirit. It is a revelation. See, it is a revelation. Now what is a revelation? A revelation is when the Holy Spirit takes the truth and pulls back the darkness of your mind and shows you what God's really saying, who God really is, and what it's all about. You take sinners and line them up from wall to wall across here, and as you start praying for them, you can watch them. Their entire countenance changes whenever the Spirit of God reveals unto them that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. See? You can see their whole countenance change. There's a different expression on their face. But this can only be done by the Spirit of God. No man calleth him Lord save by the Spirit. And whenever a person comes to Jesus and they really know who Jesus is, that's where that the new life begins. Now that's it. You are a Christian because you know someone. Amen? And you know who you know? Jesus. And when you found Jesus, you said, oh, that's not even a hat. We got a Father. Amen? Hey, let me tell you something else, too. Everything that the Father has is mine. And now we're brothers, and I'm going to share it with you. See? Isn't that right? See, it's start with a revelation. Now, John 16 and 3 says, now this verse here, I'm giving you time to turn to it because I want you to be able to follow and jot these down because you'll need them. See, here's the reason people persecute you. See, when you find Jesus as your Savior, watch out. Because you're going to change so much that folks ain't going to like it. Amen? They didn't like you were before, but they sure not going to like you now. Isn't that right? You know I'm telling you the truth. Okay, what happened? And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. And the only way your persecutions are going to stop is for your family to know the Father and the Son. Amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes you get perturbed with your family, you get upset with them, you get angry with them because they don't come to church. Well, a sinner would feel better in any barroom in town than he would here tonight where all of us are rejoicing and singing and praising God and talking in tongues and laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. You realize what you're a sinner when you try to get him in. That's like trying to put a guy in an electric chair. I mean, he knows he doesn't stand a chance. But think, Everyone in here is a Christian, and they're praying, and they're working God. Well, I say, I've won the majority of the people, aren't you? And then I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to preach and bawl and squall and wave my arms and spit and sputter and all. And he's sitting there, man, and maybe he feels like 2 cents weakening change. And he says, man, all right. And everything I preach on, he says, that's just what I thought. My wife called and told him. Well, right? And it's not the wife that called, somebody told him. The neighbor told him. See? Because, and what they don't understand is the Holy Spirit is just showing them what they are. And you know what? No sinner lacks what he sees when he has to look at himself. Any old boy that's a drunkard, when he just quits drinking, he don't want to have nobody drink. Man alive. He can't remember what he looked like whenever he did that. Isn't that right? No one. Boy, I'm telling you, they smoke up those weeds, man. But let them quit smoking, man. Boy, I can't stand that, man. It makes me sick at my stomach every time I smell it. They don't remember what they used to do to all the rest of us poor characters. You see what I'm saying? When a sinner really looks at himself and sees himself as he is, he does not like what he sees. Amen. Hallelujah. And then you get some of these old proud, haughty guys. They said, well, I know I'm not what I ought to be. And bless God, I'm not going to go down to that altar till I get better. They're going to work on themselves. You know, they're going to sanctify themselves. And they're going to go walk in and say, hey, Lord, look what I've done. You ought to be proud to have me. But the thing they don't understand is when they start working to try to get better, the devil's going to start working against them, and they're going to wind up worse every time. Right? You can't come to Jesus saved by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, when you get that first truth into your heart, that's where it starts, and you start dying from that night, you start dying little by little. You start dying. Hallelujah. Let me tell you how you start dying. You came to church. You're so mad. You could have kicked your husband right in the face. Now, we've had them come here like that. That's true. They were so mad. They're so mad at their kids, they could have wrung their necks one by one and flopped them over. That's right. I mean, just upset with the world. And they get saved. Now listen, I want to show you why people get upset with you. I may just get the introduction to this tonight, but I want to show you. Here's why people get upset with you. See, here comes this poor little thing. Stand up here a minute. She comes to church. She told him a few little dillies before she came that she doesn't want to repeat. So she comes to church and Jesus gets in her heart. And she comes back home and she wants to hug the old boy's neck. He said, I'm not about to let her hug my neck because she said before she left she wished I'd drop dead. And now I think I'm going to let her hug my neck. You understand what I'm saying? It happened that way. Well, I didn't know it was exactly like that. But And you can't understand him for being skittish of her and superstitious of her. He doesn't know what's happened. So he finally gets up enough courage and he says, now look, Kelly. What's going on? She says, I got saved. He said, I didn't know you were lost. Right? And they're like, see, he says, we don't understand. And so then you begin to talk to one another. And then he goes off and he tells his buddy that he's working with. He says, look, my wife came home the other night. I don't know what's happened to her. But she hadn't been speaking to me in 3 weeks unless she just let me have it. And now that all she wants to do is just be sweet and kind and nice to me, and all she wants to do is talk about Jesus. Yeah, you know, buddy, but I had a cousin one time like that, and you know what happened to them? They went off a deep end, and they wound up in Mandeville. So this old boy, he comes back home, he's ready to bottle Kelly up and take her to the psychiatrist. Right? That's exactly what happened. Now, I realize that this may be a little comical, but I want you to get the truth of what's really happening. Stop and understand. There's nothing that can transform a person in 2 seconds time like Jesus Christ can. I mean, you go up and you're a sinner, and you come down and you're transformed, and the things you one time loved, you now hate. The things you one time wanted, now they don't matter to you. The way you one time talked, you don't talk that way anymore. And all you want to do is talk about Jesus and talk about going to heaven. And they say they're losing their minds and they're going to die. Right? Lift your hands and praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And it all starts with a simple little revelation that Jesus is Lord and He's your Savior. And now then no longer are you a foreigner and an alien, but now you are brought into the family of God. Amen? That's all it starts with, just a simple truth of revelation of God coming into a person's heart and life. That's what it is. And it literally transformed your life. That's why drug addicts are instantly changed. That's why homosexuals are instantly changed. It is that new birth of revelation in their heart. Amen. Now, the deeper the revelation, brother, see, the richer the truth becomes to you. And this truth then produces in your life a godliness that causes the outer man to take on the characteristics of Christ Jesus. See? Amen? You can pretty well tell what kind of people live in the house by the way it looks outside. You can pretty well tell what's going on in the heart of a person by the way they look outside. Amen. Amen. That's right. So when a person's heart is changed, when I say heart, I don't mean this blood pumper. I mean that real spiritual network that's deep within. That spirit. See, that spirit. Hallelujah. When that is transformed and renewed by the renewing of your mind, that's when it begins to happen. And so, the more you become like Jesus, one revelation after another. Just like today, Sister Stanley walked with me out in the hallway. And she said, "Oh, Brother Gorman, you taught something today that just a short time ago was made real to me." Said, "I was reading the scripture and said it just leaped out at me. But God preserves me." And she said, it was just beautiful. That was a revelation that Sister Stanley had. The Spirit of God revealed unto her that she is preserved not by her own strength, but by the strength of God, by the power of God. We're kept. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go a step further. John 17:3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now, what have I been preaching to you for the last 30 minutes? A simple truth. That salvation is through the knowledge of the Father and the Son. That's it. He says right here, "This is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son." That's what it says. So the more you know about them, the richer your life will become. Now I'm going to slow down just a little bit. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. I'm going to read this to you from the King James Version, and then I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified Version. And I want you to just listen to me very closely, because there's some beautiful truths in the scriptures I have before us. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's read that from the Amplified Version. Listen as I read it. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ the Messiah. What he is literally saying to us here is this, that what God did when a sinner is saved, the same Spirit, see, one time this earth was without form and it was void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. One day God spoke, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep and drove back the powers of darkness. Now, this word darkness that is used in Genesis is only used a few other places in the Bible, and that when it speaks of the darkness of the demon forces of hell. You remember whenever that Jesus Christ was crucified, and it says darkness covered the earth and there was an earthquake. This was a darkness that you could literally feel. This feeling means it was a darkness that literally was permeated and filled with demon powers. And these demons were there filling that very darkness. And it says in the 22nd Psalm that the demons of hell literally came upon Jesus, and they gaped upon him, and they bit him as the bulls of Bashan. Meaning that when the darkness came down upon the face of the earth, that all the demons of hell was unleashed against Jesus Christ, and they came against Jesus as he hung upon the cross of Calvary. But glory be to God, the demon powers, they were dispelled by the mighty power of God at the cross. Just like they were dispelled in the beginning of mankind. Hallelujah. Because when demon powers and darkness covered the face of this earth, God spoke forth and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and the demon powers were driven back, and then there was light, and then there was darkness, then there was day, and then coming out of this earth that was without form and was void began to come something that was worthwhile. Oh, hallelujah. Rip, you were filled with darkness. Your life was completely compassed about with the powers of darkness. And then the Holy Spirit came in. His life was without form. It was void. It had no direction, Rip. It had no purpose like the earth was. The earth was without form. It was void. There was nothing good. There was nothing beautiful about it. God spoke. He said, "Spirit, move upon the face of the deep." And the Holy Spirit began to move. And the darkness began to be driven back. Whoa, hallelujah. You say, "Oh, Brother Garman, that's where we got nighttime and that's where we got daytime." No! That's not it. He drove back these demons, Brother Brown, and these demons were driven back into the regions of the deep. Now, there's still demons that are unleashed here, don't get me wrong. But this darkness was driven back by the Spirit of God. There's only one thing that caused you to be able to accept Jesus. The Holy Spirit came to you and drove back the demons. So your mind could be clear, because you couldn't think. It was without form, it was void. You had no purpose, you had no direction. When you tried to do good, evil was present with you, and you couldn't overcome. When you wanted to do something beautiful, it always turned out bad. When you wanted to go the right way, you always wound up going the wrong way. When you wanted to impress someone, you always wound up making a fool out of yourself. How close to right am I? Amen. And one day, Jesus, hallelujah, came into our life, but before he could come in, the Holy Spirit came and drove back the powers. And then she said, "Jesus, come into my heart." And Jesus came into a life that was without form and void.
And he began to build something.